Thank you, Lizzie. Well, I mean, it's so great to be here. I've only come from over there, Carey's. That's my church, and you work at Carey. And they all say, hi.
Hi.
Someone watching your live stream, they might have responded. Well, something's been happening, isn't it? Something's been going on. Yes, King Charles III. He entered the Westminster Abbey yesterday, his Queen Camilla by sight, with blazing trumpets broadcasting his coronation across the planet. There was theatre. There was amazing majestic music. It was really good. There was lots of ceremony, led in parts by costumed men and women and boys and girls. It was the craziest titles I've ever heard. Lots of international leaders, and they're all playing their part in a really hugely important ceremony with big promises, which is actually found in the Bible. But did any of it really matter? And was God actually listening? Was he really involved? I mean, because God expects acknowledgement from politicians and really important people who may well have got just a little bit angry or just plain bored that Jesus should have even a look in. You know, for many people, the coronation of King Charles is about street parties and an extra weekend, bank holiday weekend. Now, okay, I'm looking forward to having tomorrow off. I do admit that. But more than maybe bowing before the Almighty God. There is, however, a question, an important question, at the heart of the whole ceremony. Who really is King? Well, I've got a question for you. Okay. Now, here's the question. On the screen. What do you think are the most important things King Charles should do as king? And I want you, just for a few seconds, to turn to the person next to you, behind you, in front of you, or your little group, and chat about that. We won't have time for feedback. You can tell me after, okay? What do you think are the most important things King Charles should do as king? Go! Well, in Psalm 21, that was read beautifully earlier, thank you so much, we're going to read about someone who knew what to do as king, because he knew that there was a greater king than himself. Though by no means perfect, King David loved God with all his heart, and he wanted nothing more than to see God's kingly reign over his life and over the life of his people, Israel. And we're going to see briefly three qualities that this passage, that if you're a Christian, should aim to live out in your daily life in response to the greater King, King Jesus. And you know what? They are a wrap. What do I mean? R-A-P. Reliance, assurance, praise. And as it's a wrap, I thought, let's get it into our brains with some rhythm. I'm a muso myself, so I couldn't resist it. So I've asked Wing here to give us a little bit of a groove, and we're going to wrap this. I'm going to show how it goes. And if you feel willing, just join in. In fact, can you stand up? Because if you might start to move, if you can, please stand and we'll get some food. Take it away, please. Oh, that's good. I can't dance, so. We go like this. Reliance. Assurance.
Reliance.
Assurance.
Praise.
R-A-P. teens today. They generally don't have much involvement in everyday life. Most, you know, for people in the Old Testament, the king actually meant everything. The king literally represented God's presence and his authority. There was this kind of two-way exchange going on. God speaks through the king, and the king stands for the people before God. Then the people honour the king, and the king goes before God. I mean, what a weight of responsibility for the king. I wouldn't want that. Too scary. So here's the first quality. You know what it is. Reliance. So what is reliance? Big word, isn't it? What is reliance? Well, reliance means to depend upon or trust someone or something. In the case of a person, you might rely on them to do what they said they would do, like keeping a promise. Verse 1 of our psalm reads, O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. Now David, the king of Israel, he finds joy in relying not on himself, not in his people, not in the empire, but upon the Lord alone. And you know, if there's anyone in the history of the world that should rely upon themselves, it should be the king. I mean, who's going to tell the king what to do? No one. He's the king. And yet David, he sets the example that even the king of peoples on the earth should rely upon the Lord, the greater king in heaven. Then verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. So David is saying here that a good leader trusts the Lord and depends upon him. You know, too often you see it, don't you? Leaders trust in their own cleverness or their popular support or even in military power. But God, he's above all these things. If anyone here, maybe you're in a position of leadership, or maybe you aspire to be one day when you get a bit older. You know, you need to make sure that you keep the Lord God at the centre of your life and that you rely on him. Because he, as the verse said, will keep you from stumbling. You will not be shaken. See, we rely on God because he's stable. He's permanent. And that's what we get. Now, whatever we may lose out on as we go through our lives, we might lose out on possessions. We might lose a job. We might even lose friends and family. One thing is, we cannot be shaken from God's favour. No way. Now, on the other hand, do you know what our world around us, the people around us, they're crying out to us that we should rely upon ourselves if we're going to be able to live a good life. And that's called self-reliance. And you know what? Self-reliance is a sin. And it was committed at the very beginning of the world. Remember the story from Genesis 3 when the devil, Satan, tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? No, they decided to rely upon what the devil convinced them of, that they could be like God, knowing good and evil. Real freedom. Well, so they thought. You know, what a sad day that was. Because instead, they weren't free. They were bound by sin. And then they were separated
from God forever. So let me ask you, if you're honest, who do you rely upon to get you through life or to try and get in a right relationship with God? Is it yourself? Is it a friend, a family member, or something else? You know, the day that I put my reliance in God, trusting in his son, Jesus, that was the most freeing day of my life. Because I know that he will never leave me. He will never desert me. But how can I know that? That leads me on to our second quality. Assurance. Assurance. So verse 8 from our psalm says, "Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes." Now, King David, he knew difficulty. But here we see David, he's pouring his heart out to God and saying, "God, I have assurance. Not only do I rely upon you, but I can be assured that you are true." And David has actually been running for his life in this psalm. He's actually in real trouble. But now he's saying, with great assurance, verses 8 to 12, you see all these words. He says, "You will capture, you will deliver, you will seize, you will burn, you will engulf, you will devour, you will wipe away." And God gave David loads and loads of numerous victories over his enemies because David had faith in God. Maybe you feel as though maybe you don't have any enemies. No, life is really good. Well, great. I almost envy you. But did you know that the Bible says that even one who has no human enemies, at one time you were an enemy of God. And maybe some of you are still enemies of God. What do I mean? Well, the Apostle Paul, a wonderful New Testament writer, wrote to a church in Philippi, to the Philippians. And this is a wonderful verse, Philippians 3:18, and it says this: "For, as I've often told you before, and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." You see, your sin makes you an enemy of God. And often we find that you and I might be fighting against God. Do you know what we're doing? We're deliberately pushing back against God's wonderful, loving, righteous work on the cross, all because of our sin. But, Christian, if you're trusting Christ, that passage says that is what we were. It's a reminder. And there are some wonderful verses. Again, that same chap, Paul, he wrote some Romans as well. And in chapter 5, two fantastic verses, which you could spend ages looking at. And I suggest you look at them at some other time because they're fantastic. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, listen to this. He reminds us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And not only that, he says in verse 10, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled, we were made right to him, to God, through the death of his son, Jesus. And you know, that love that caused Christ to die, it's the same love that sends his spirit to live in us and guide us every day. And you know that the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that saves you and me and is available to you in your daily life. Isn't that so encouraging? Wonderful thing to know. So we can be assured that having begun a life with Jesus, we have this reserve of power and of love to call on each day to help meet every challenge, every trial. Now, David knew that, and he shouted it out throughout the Psalms. You read the Psalms that he's written, and it's big and it's loud. We should expect battles and difficulties in life, not be surprised when they come. So this means, you know, we can live boldly for the greater King. Because when enemies come, they're not just coming at you alone. No, no. They're warring against Jesus as well. And we know how the war ends. Jesus is the one who receives and gains the victory in your life. David says to us, basically, you can rest assured that God will defeat the enemy. So sure. So, with our reliance on God and the assurance that it gives us, what should our response be? I think you know, because you'll remember the rap. Our third and final quality, praise, praise. You know what? We live in a world that naturally just and instinctively wants to praise something. Now, many of you, you'll have favourite sports teams and you like to go and watch them play. You cheer your team along and you're praising them because it brings you joy. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. Or some of you might like to, say, go to museums because you like to look at the beautiful works of art. And you praise the amazing artistry. Some like to read novels because of, in literature, the beauty of creation comes through. And you can think of more and more things. The list goes on. Now, though they may not acknowledge God, some people find themselves praising the good news that God, the good things that God has given in this world. Because, as I said, we live in a world that loves to praise. So the last verse in our psalm, verse 12, David says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might." Now, there's a little change in this verse from the rest of the psalm. In the previous verses, the reliance and the assurance, they'd come from David alone. But now he extends the response of this to, well, everyone. He's calling the entire congregation. He's calling the nation. And that means he's calling us. Those who believe in the Lord, to respond with praise and singing. And surely we can do nothing less than this. So to bring it all together, going back to the beginning, we saw, didn't we? King Charles III, he's been crowned as the new King of England. How well he will do in his rule, we'll have to wait and see. But we need to pray for him. What we can know is that there is a far greater King, the Lord Jesus, whom we can have reliance, assurance, and be able to praise in total confidence. If you haven't done so, put your trust in Jesus, who paid the price for sins by dying on the cross. And know these three qualities for yourself, which will help you live life that brings glory to the greater King, King Jesus. Wing, can I have you back just once more? Let's have one more go. You don't need rehearsals anymore. Let's tell everyone around here whom we praise. Okay, stand up if you can. Take it away, Mr. Groove. That's good. Here we go, ready? 2, 3. Reliance. Assurance. Praise. R-A-P. Reliance. Assurance. Praise. R-A-P. Reliance. Assurance. Brilliant. Sit down. Thank you.